Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
All right, so we are here today to discuss An American Girl in Paris, Part 1.
But hold on.
All right.
I got a lot of but hold on about the dog. Apparently, to enter a dog into a dog show, it cannot be altered in any way, which means spay or neutered.
Really?
Yeah. Like, we got a lot of people reached out to tell us that. Like, here's one person that just said, like, just listening, wanted to let you know that you can't enter a dog into a dog show that has been spayed or neutered. And this person, Louise, said, but weirdly, you can dock their tails and shave their ears, which is not nice.
Yeah,
and
that is
she
weird.
Didn't seem to think so either. So
that's very odd to me.
Yeah, but
it feels like a rule that should be overthrown.
No, a lot of people reached out and told me that. People that have worked in dog shows and things like that.
All right, so this originally debuted February 15th, 2004, the day after Valentine's.
Happy Valentine.
Happy Valentine. This and the next will be directed by Tim Van Patten, who joined us this season, and written by Michael Patrick King, obviously.
Yay, and we have a few listeners that have either been to Paris or live in Paris that have reached out that are going to send me pictures.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I have not ever been to Paris.
Me neither. Neither. Let's call the whole thing off.
So here is our DVD recap. Miss Bradshaw has one last dinner with Samantha, Charlotte, and Miranda, and they realize Carrie's absence will have a major impact on all of their lives. When Charlotte visits Carrie's apartment on an errand, she intercepts a phone call from Big intended to bring Carrie back into his life. She sets up a meeting with the girls and Big to discuss the situation. Ultimately, they agree that Big should go and find Carrie in Paris. I love that we only cover, like, the first, like, 2 minutes of the episode and the last 2 minutes of the episode.
Well, and I also feel like every other DVD description has been, like, funny and witty and, like, kind of gets to what happens. This one is literally, like, this is what happened in this episode of Sex and the City.
Very, very matter of fact. So we start out with some outfits wait a lifetime to be taken somewhere special, and that's a voiceover.
The same can be true of people.
And the only reason why I bring that up is because there's very little voiceover in this episode, but I feel like the point is made that once she closes her laptop after not questioning anymore, there are no more voiceovers, and that's not true. There are voiceovers at the end of Splat. There's a voiceover here. So anyway, it
was that something in the commentary?
Yeah.
Okay, like, I was going to say, or are you that
And
smart?
There's also, like, trivia on IMDb that's like, there's no more, like, no
right.
more voiceovers.
I guess there's no more We Couldn't Help But Wonders, but.
True. There are no, yeah. But I just think, I just want to make that point, that we do still have some voiceover.
Right.
And I said that, I guess she finally got to the dry cleaners.
Right. There's so many things.
Yeah. And I do like, we only see the outfit here, but it is very Parisian.
Oh,
but
for sure.
I do like it. And we have three phone messages. We have Al.
Hi, Sonic. Stop packing. They've closed here in Paris.
Which I was like, oh, he's already there.
Yes.
Also on Hinge, I matched with someone named Alexander. Like, spelled the exact same way. I didn't match. Like, they liked me. I didn't reach out because I'm like, no.
We know how this ends.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to Paris.
Yeah, we have Miranda kind of like jokingly asking her not to go.
Which leads me to believe she's been asking her not to go for the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, one thing that is said in the commentary that I sort of like, there were questions of like, well, what are you going to do after that fight? Like, how are you going to get Miranda and Carrie to be friends again? And I like that they're just friends.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like that
you
happens.
Can, yeah, you can have a fight with someone, and if you love them, the love is still there, and you're fine. So I'm sure that she's been jokingly like, hey, how about not, you know?
Right.
But they're fine. I like that. She also mentions they have a 6 o'clock reservation before a 9 o'clock flight. How do you think I felt about
this? Oh my gosh. I was like, does she mean 9 a.m.? I hope she means 9 a.m.
I'd be like, if we have a reservation at 6, that is at the airport.
Yeah.
I just flew out of Newark and left. I think I left my apartment about 4 hours before the flight, like, to get to the airport. I'm so paranoid about missing flights.
Mike's just paranoid about, like, being late for things.
Basically. So, especially a flight. Oh, it, like, that makes my stomach hurt. And then there's Big.
Look, I'd really like to see you, so call me.
Yeah, so in this case, Big has left a message.
And, she deletes it.
Yeah.
After many more hours of packing, I was off for our version of the Last Supper.
She's in a very heavy-looking cupcake dress.
Yeah, I wonder how heavy it really is.
But it looks heavy.
It does. It's voluminous, for
and
sure.
For like,
not the most voluminous dress we're going to
see in
this
episode. No, but I mean, like, you're going to sit... I feel bad for the person sitting next to her on that plane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hopefully she has, like, two seats in first class.
Right, her own area, because you can't sit next to someone in that dress. And also, that's not, I get you're going to Paris, but also relax. And also, she must have, I mean, we'll get there.
She's not wearing that when she gets to Paris, is she?
No, so it's,
this is just for the Last Supper.
I don't know.
Just somewhere.
But yeah, Big is in front of the house, and it reminds me very much of the abso-fucking-lutely moment.
100%. I mean, to me, this is just still classic Big.
Right.
Where he can't get out of the car. Like, he couldn't possibly go knock on the door. He's, right. like, in the backseat of his limo, peering out the window.
It's also, I know we have just dealt with daylight savings time, but it's 5:45 and it is dark out.
That is true. We don't know. Now I think it's February. I think it actually is February at this point on the series.
Right.
I mean, we're not told that.
Right, but I'm assuming, like, I'm trying to think, is it that dark now at 5:45?
It really is. I mean, okay. See, now I'm confused about which way the clock's turned.
Well,
so
we got it.
Fall
yeah.
back.
Right, so we lost an hour.
Yeah, so at 5:45, it will look like what used to look like 6:45.
Right, but it still wasn't that dark at 6:45.
I bet it is. At 5:45, let's look around.
Okay.
I was in the neighborhood, saw your light on. Can I talk to you?
Well, I'm late for dinner with the girls.
Big asks her to get in the car.
Yeah, Carrie, it's cold. Raul, get out.
That's kind of rude.
I'm sorry for not returning your calls.
Yeah, I was starting to feel like a needy chick.
I'm like, good.
Yeah, Big.
Yeah, Big brings up the fact that he freaked out last time they were together and tries to apologize. And this is very much a struggle, it seems, between Big trying to get to a point and Carrie very much not wanting him to get to the point.
Right. He says, you know, I've been thinking a lot about us. You are amazing to me. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's just a lot of it's fine.
Doesn't want to let him talk. Says that she has to go.
He wants to get dinner.
Let's do something tomorrow. And she finally tells
drinks.
Him.
I won't be here tomorrow. I'm leaving for Paris tonight.
Paris? Wow. You're finally taking that vacation, huh?
It's not a vacation. I'm going there with a man that I'm in a relationship with.
She gets out to go and he follows her.
He's wonderful and I'm happy, so please don't feel bad about anything.
And I just wrote this is a pretty great scene. And I'll probably just put most of it in because it's almost feels like a moment of catharsis for Carrie. Where
right.
she can finally say, like, you have to stop doing this.
Right. She's thinking, you know, Carrie might be happy. It's time to shit all over this.
Yeah.
You and I,
nothing!
It's never different. It's 6 years of never being different.
So good.
Don't call me ever again. Forget you know my number. In fact, forget you know my name. And you can drive down the street all you want.
I don't live here anymore.
Oh, I love it. And I love that she sort of walks away and then starts to run.
Yeah. I thought she was going to get that cab, but she's not.
I wondered about that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. You know, not for nothing, and maybe this is the right time to bring it up, but this is the season for which Sarah Jessica Parker and Cynthia Nixon will win their Emmys. Mm. And I think part of it is just because the series was almost over and the Emmy voters were like, oh, we got to make sure we get them some Emmys before that's done. But their work in this season in particular, I do think is pretty amazing.
Right.
And Sarah Jessica Parker has some incredible stuff that she does in this episode. So we get to four ladies at an early dinner.
Mm-hmm. And she refers to him as the boy who cried love.
I wrote that one down too. I really like that quote. And that she's mostly upset that he ruined the last night.
Yeah, love. He said he loved you. That was...
Of course, Charlotte is like,
but you know,
did I hear the word love?
In this moment, I was thinking, oh, these girls don't believe Carrie. Like, they don't believe that she's over Big, right? And then I wrote, or maybe they're just sad.
Yeah, I think they're mostly just sad. But I think that it's also that thing of, if you knew someone who loved someone for so long,
right,
and finally got the love from them, of course you're going to have that thing of like, oh,
yeah.
Does this change everything?
Right. And then we get into the, today I had a thought, what if I'd never met you? And I was like, is Mike crying now?
I probably didn't cry. I don't think that I cried this time, but for sure I cried the first time that
yeah,
I saw it.
Yeah, and it was an interesting moment for me because I was thinking about, you know, I've been in New York for 11 years and I moved here with a lot of my friends. I moved here with like six of my very close friends from college. And a lot of people that I knew, like, were here, and not a lot of people are left, and a lot of people are leaving, you know? And mm-hmm. so it's kind of these moments where, you know, the first 5 years in New York, it was every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, every everything together all the time, this family, and then you're starting to be like, oh, people leave.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've had an episode, it probably was when Big left, where the question
right.
is asked, like, where do you go when you leave New York? And I think the answer in that episode is the real world.
Right.
But it's just, I suppose also as someone who loves New York, and doesn't ever plan on leaving it. I do have that thing people leave where I'm like, why? But I also get why.
Well, I mean, I get why. For me, it's just this moment, like, reminded me that, like, oh, yeah, people leave, and yeah. It's going to be sad. And the awkward waiter moment where everyone's crying, and he's
I do really like it. Yeah, I put that down here, too. She has a moment with each of them, and the waiter notices.
Yeah.
And Samantha's having hot flashes and can barely keep her clothes on.
No, chemo might have kicked her into early menopause and barely keep her clothes on. What was your excuse before? And she replies with, oh, I'm going to miss you, you C word.
I like it. I like that word. Too.
And then we get to Carrie's apartment where she's picking up her... Now this, you want to talk about anxiety. This is where I was getting anxiety because she opens her purse. You see she has a moment with the Carrie necklace. She puts it in there. And I first thought this was interesting because we see the Carrie necklace a lot, but we never get any story about it. We never realize how sentimental it really is. So in this moment, I was reminded that that is a sentimental thing to her. And then also, though, the anxiety part for me is that she gets a call from the car service saying there will be a town car for Bradshaw downstairs, pre-Uber, pre-Lyft.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just thinking, she's just going to leave. She's just going to go to Paris. She's not going to check everything 400 times and make sure she has everything and make sure every candle is blown out and everything is unplugged and this and this and that. You know what I mean? Like, that's where my brain goes.
Gotcha. Maybe she already checked.
Maybe she did. But I want you also to notice the size of the car that she gets into that car by herself and what she has with her. When she gets to Paris.
Right. Yeah. I do. Yeah. That is an interesting question there. Where all those things came from. I wrote a very New York car driver is there for her.
Manhattan town car for Bradshaw. Car number 221 downstairs in 2 minutes.
And we have a moment of goodbye to her building. And she kind of like takes it all in. And then I think it's an interesting edit because we cut to what appears to be four women sharing dessert.
Right, and I thought it was the women without Carrie. I thought that's what we were going to see.
And it's sort of like a fake moment as we then pull back and see that it's Samantha out with four other women.
Right, she's talking about a breast cancer benefit dinner.
And it's getting late. We have to get up early for our Pilates.
Yeah, and I love the waitress that's like,
more hot decaf. Are you insane?
Well, I wrote, just tell the waitress no, Samantha.
Yeah. But I just love more hot decaf. That's me. That's like, I just wanted that part.
And they're planning a breast cancer benefit, and Samantha doesn't care about the cookie. Apparently the cookie's a real thing. Michael Patrick King talks about how often they would go to benefits, and that at any benefit that had to do with cancer, there was always, like, the ribbon cookie.
Right. And these women need something inspirational and outrageous, and they say, well, I want to give them you.
What would I say?
Something inspirational. Something you think they'd like to hear. But my husband's parents, the Liebermans, are coming. So please, try not to say fuck so much.
Yeah, Samantha kind of gets volunteered. It's called being dragooned to give a speech. And then she's rude to the server again.
Fill it up.
That's kind of all that
she's
I could.
She's just hot.
She's just hot.
And we also notice, I don't know if... obviously you notice this, but Samantha's in a wig, and it's the first time we see Samantha in a wig that is a Samantha wig.
Yes, that she's wearing something that looks much more similar to her actual hair. So now we're in Paris.
Yeah, Carrie arrives in a tiny hat in a different outfit that she
she had a left costume in. Change on the plane.
Yeah, because she leaves in that big dress, right? Yeah. And it's all very opening sequence, Beauty and the Beast. Bonjour, 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 bonjour.
Just like that.
It is. She says bonjour to everyone. And she's like, does that Carrie thing where she's like, bonjour.
Yeah. I wrote that she seems to have studied very little French. But we'll get to more of it later. She's actually doing better than I thought that she was. Get to the front desk person that speaks to her in English. And, you know, this was all set up to be the fantasy of moving to Paris.
Okay.
That you, like, step out of your limo and someone has your bags and the bellhop is super cute. Right. And you're at the nicest hotel and you go in and everything is very luxurious.
How do you say it? Plaza Athénée?
You know what? I actually don't know. He says it in the commentary.
Okay. Yeah, and she, you know, je m'appelle Carrie Bradshaw for Alexander Petrovsky, and then she has a ton of luggage. Where was all that? Yeah. How did that get there? And it's all very, like, 1930s hat boxes and old school Louis Vuitton.
And then we find out, you know, Al's in the salon.
He's in the salon. She goes there. He's with some girl. And
a much younger woman. A much younger woman.
And Carrie and him start to make out.
Yeah, so they kiss sort of awkwardly while Carrie and the young woman look at each other.
Yeah, very weird.
It's very creepy.
And we find out it's Chloe, his daughter.
Yeah, it's his daughter. Cecil Cassell, I'm assuming is how you say her name.
You know what's interesting is there are people in my family that spell Castle that way. So
maybe she's a relative.
Yeah.
Bonjour. Comment ça va?
Très bien, merci à toi.
Je suis juste en train de vivre le pire jour de ma vie. Et il y a encore que 10h30, tout se barre en vrille. Je pense que j'ai plus qu'à m'ouvrir les veines.
I'm sorry, all I got was it's 10:30.
And it's boy trouble, which is Carrie's department. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that she's trying to bond with this girl, and you get the feeling the girl does not reciprocate.
No, not at all.
Papa tells me this is your first visit to Paris.
Well, not if you include movies. But I can't believe I'm finally here. I almost screamed when we drove by the Eiffel Tower.
Carrie has the moment of saying that she almost screamed when she saw the Eiffel
Tower. Oh, yeah, yeah, and Chloe's over it.
Chloe thinks it's idiot.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know,
even
I guess
with
that
those
is,
lights
like, a Parisian
now.
Thing right. Where, like, people in Paris hate the Eiffel Tower.
I mean, but imagine, like, someone coming to you and be like, oh, my gosh, when I saw Times Square.
But I feel like that's different. I feel like it's saying, like, ugh, the Empire State Building.
The Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, like, I think it's a weird thing to think is hideous. That said, once upon a time, New Yorkers hated the Twin Towers. Like, I remember when I first moved here, everyone thought they were ugly. And now, of course, they seem beautiful and we all miss them. But I remember that being a thing, that, like, they were not looked at fondly.
Right.
Back in the day.
Yeah, I don't...
So maybe that's the closest similarity that I could find. And, of course, now it feels sacrilegious to even say that.
Right.
But, yeah, that's the only, like, similarity I could find to it.
Yeah, I guess I think, I mean, I wasn't here. I wasn't living here then, but I think, I would think, like, because if someone said to me, do you want to go watch the ball drop? I'd be like, oh.
Yeah, Times Square feels so different, though, but maybe that's the best similarity now.
I wanted Chloe to meet us for drinks tonight, but the only time she could give her old papa is from now till this afternoon.
So this is the only time that Chloe has for Al, and Carrie's, yeah, says that they should spend the day together.
You know, all the interpreting for me is going to cut your time in half. I can unpack and take a nap and try to get on Paris time, okay?
Mm-hmm. Also... I have to meet some people from the museum for an early dinner, but I'll eat light, so we could go out then, okay?
And then I wrote, okay, her French is okay.
Yeah, it's not bad, but...
She dropped some French here.
My subtitles just keep saying, speaking French, so speaking French.
Her French is better than your subtitles, French. Mm-hmm. Carrie gets to her room, and I confess that I don't understand hotel tipping.
Well, you probably...
I don't stay at a hotel
you.
That where you
right.
have
I don't
this
know if you would
service.
Have a bellhop yeah. bringing your bags up.
Yeah, so I would need someone to tell me, like, you have to give him $5. Like, I have
yeah,
no idea.
Yeah, and you leave money for the housekeeping.
And I've done that before.
Yeah.
And I guess that fruit is real.
I would hope so. I was like, how long has it been sitting there?
Yeah, it must be fresh.
And I got really nervous when she opens that window and is stepping
out
there. I always get so nervous about that stuff. It just makes... And then she starts screaming at the Eiffel Tower like a basic bitch.
Yeah, and 10 hours later, Carrie is in a multi-layered dress and yeah. still waiting for Al to show
that
up.
That dress is intense.
Yeah, the dress came before the scene. Pat Field went to Michael Patrick King and said, I found this dress. We have to use it. Where are we going to put it? And
is so that your Pat Field
that's
voice?
That's my Pat Field voice. She smokes. Okay. And yeah, so he kind of like wrote this scene with the dress in mind. Because where on earth else? You can't wear that dress out of the, you know.
Right. And then we get to
puppies,
cute little baby puppies under the table. And I was like, where are these puppies? And then I remembered puppies. And Charlotte and Harry are doing adoption paperwork.
Yeah, kind of getting things ready. I wrote this scene is clearly sponsored by Amstel Light.
Really?
There's just an Amstel Light like bottle right in the center of the screen.
Oh, I didn't
like,
even notice
pointed
it.
Pointed at the camera.
But I wonder how much is sponsored by Amstel Light, because remember at Steve's bar, also we talked about Amstel Light.
That's true.
Yeah, and we just really quickly find out that they're doing adoption paperwork, and when Charlotte goes and gets the mail at Carrie's, she's going to pick up Carrie's letter of recommendation.
Yes, so we sort of just setting up a scene for later.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie is very precisely laid out in bed.
Yeah.
In her... Milfoy dress.
It's under your Milfoy.
Milfoy. A 1,000 layers.
I just always thought it was Millie Philly.
Perfect.
Yeah, he comes home. She's like, why didn't you call? He tried calling, but her phone was on do not disturb. She looks like, though, she's in a wedding photo shoot with the way it's laid out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it.
Yeah, it's dinner time in New York. And then under the dress he goes.
Yep. And then we get to Sam doing her monologue for Smith in her panties. God, I hate that word.
She's rehearsing her speech.
If you want to see the face of breast cancer, look around you. It's the woman next to you at the dry cleaners, the nurse in pediatrics, the single mother picking her child up from school.
And he doesn't think it sounds like her.
He just thinks the speech is kind of a speech.
Yeah, and he thinks that in AA, the most amazing speakers are the ones that are real.
And her response of like, I'm not chilling with P. Diddy. I'm like, yeah, neither is someone in AA. Like, he's just giving you, like, a good piece of advice about, right, like, how to give a good speech.
Right, and but she says, you may know AA, but I know PR.
I know PR, yeah.
Right.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I simply must stick my head in the freezer.
And then we get to Carrie in the rain with very straight hair, and it's somehow staying that way.
Yeah, and her French is now good enough to go shopping. So she goes to Dior.
And I screamed when she slipped.
I'm sure you did. It is violent.
It is violent.
Like, that fall is really intense. Mm-hmm. And of course, everyone's just kind of like looking at her. But I guess I would not. Like, I am that person that if someone falls near me, it's not that I don't want to be helpful. It's that I don't want you to know that I saw you. So I'll tend to like not look and hope that someone else is helping the person out.
Yeah, it depends on how hard you fall, but yes.
It's very violent, and things go flying everywhere. And I guess this also was very purposefully, this purse was chosen, because it had to have a clasp on top that could theoretically come open, so that all of the contents of her purse come flying out.
And she's trying to grab it all. And then we cut back to her at the apartment.
Yeah, the way that she's decided to make up for it is to buy everything.
Everything in Dior. Yeah. I mean, there are a ton of bags. Yeah. I don't know how she paid for it.
Well, she paid with a credit card that she can't use again. And so I wrote, I guess he's not paying for her credit cards?
No, but also that credit card limit must be high.
Yeah.
And
maybe she'd finally paid one off.
And yeah, she needed to spend the money because she can't be that American that fell in Dior.
This is the shopping equivalent of a lobotomy.
She can't find her Carrie necklace.
Yeah, he's on the phone. She's sort of looking through her things. And yeah, she can't find her Carrie necklace. And even just in this moment, I think that the way that Sarah Jessica Parker plays, like, this whole episode is so sad, but trying so hard to not be sad.
Yeah, and he's saying, you know, well, was it insured? And
No, it's not like that. It costs like nothing, but it's priceless. I've just had it forever, so.
And we start to see in this moment that what's important to her, he doesn't understand the importance of.
And I feel like there is trivia about this, but I'm trying to think of the last time that she wore her Carrie necklace. Mm. And it was for sure before she met Al.
Okay.
And I feel like there is something to be said about that she's kind of slowly given up that identity,
right,
of the girl who wore the Carrie necklace.
And I also wonder, though, why she never called Dior or went back to Dior to find it.
Or maybe she did.
Yeah, who knows. But that's what I thought was going to happen now. But she's walking, and she sees four French girls that probably remind...
She sees the French version of her.
Right. And the girls are like, why are you looking at me?
I love that. Because I just wrote, she sees the French version of her and the girls out having fun. And they see her, too.
Yeah.
It's not a one-way, one-way mirror, girl.
Creepy Carrie. So then she goes to a payphone.
Yeah, I like that we start with Miranda and Fatty, though. Like, we cut to Miranda and Fatty. And then see that Brady's there, too.
Brady's getting older.
And the phone rings.
Hello?
Is it too early?
Carrie, hi. How's it going?
Oh, I'm really upset.
What's wrong?
It's nothing serious. I lost my Carrie necklace, and it's gone, and I'll never be able to replace it. And I got it at that street fair when we were all together, and it just makes me so sad.
And Miranda just understands. Like, that's really all it is.
But immediately tells her to come home.
Yeah, Miranda wants her to come home, and Carrie tells her that she just keeps thinking about Big. She thinks about Big, her being here with Big and what it would be like with Big. And I wrote down in this moment, is Miranda going to go tell Big to get to Paris? I wrote that down because I thought that in my mind. I was like, oh, you're giving Miranda all the information she needs to get you to come home.
I just thought how much I miss you guys.
We miss you too.
Oh, this is absurd. I'm in Paris. I wanted to come here my whole life. This is... I just have, you know, too much time to think.
What does that mean?
Yeah, this scene is pretty heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. SJP does some good work. And
then the French voice.
I love it. This French phone is saying something.
And I don't know what it's saying. And I don't know why. I mean, if I was in France and that was happening, I would just put more money in the
And I'm sure phone. That's what it's saying. Maybe she didn't have any more change.
Yeah. And then we go to...
We're at a benefit with Samantha.
Samantha is giving sweating. Her speech. She is sweating.
Oh my God. I wrote, she's sweating a lot.
She's sweating like Mike Jensen in the summertime.
Absolutely. Just walking down the street. And I said, it's okay for us to talk about, but those women are being rude.
I said inspirational, not perspirational.
What happens, what I thought was going to happen. Samantha right. eventually just...
She breaks down and starts saying fuck.
Fuck. She starts giving her own speech. She rips her wig off. It's inspirational. Everyone else rips their wig off.
Yeah. The audience slowly follows suit.
Yeah.
And I guess it was a lot of women from Gilda's house, so it was a lot of women who were actually going through cancer.
I like that.
Who were hired to be, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's great. And it's a great scene.
Yeah.
It does exactly what it's supposed
to do. Because I really like the scene, and I like that, I liked seeing how supportive Smith is.
I wrote that, too. I love how much Smith loves it.
Because I never would have thought that they would have stayed together. Like, I thought for sure that that was just, like, a one-episode thing. So, yeah. I was totally surprised by it.
Yeah, their arc is pretty good.
Yeah, I was, I'm still kind of like, oh, wow, he's still here. Uh-huh. And I like him.
So, we get to Charlotte at Carrie's to pick up the letter of recommendation.
Yeah, to
and
mommy Charlotte.
Yeah, she's kind of just looking around the apartment. And I will say that I think it's done purposefully, obviously. But there is part of me that can't believe she left her computer behind.
Right.
That I think to myself... Even if you don't have your column anymore, you're still a writer, aren't you? Like, I would think.
Well, maybe
you'd be
that's part of her thing where she's like, "I'm going to go to Paris and I'm going to leave that behind."
Yeah, it's just it's surprising to me that she wouldn't have taken it, even if she's not writing the American Girl in Paris column. For like, you would think that you'd still want that connection right. to who you were and what you did. And I, once again, it's a plot point. It's to show us how much she's left her old self behind.
The phone rings.
And the machine picks up.
And it's big.
I don't know if you're even calling this number, but I had to call. I figure at this point I've got nothing to lose. Except you. I can't lose you again, Carrie. I love you.
Hi, it's Charlotte.
And so then we cut.
Well, she has to say that it's Charlotte real fast so that Big doesn't start in on, you know, any personal.
Right. Well, good for her. Yeah. So then we cut to...
Yeah, it's three ladies at brunch.
With Big walking in.
And Charlotte is happy to see him. Samantha and Miranda less so.
Yeah, they're kind of like, hmm.
But he says all the right stuff.
You three know her better than anyone. You're the loves of her life. And a guy's just lucky to come in fourth. But I do love her. And if you think I have the slightest chance, I'll be on the next plane to Paris. I'll roam the streets until I find her. I'll do anything. But if you think that he really is happy, well, I wouldn't want to wreck that for her.
And you can see all the girls like, and you know Miranda's going to make the call. And I think they know that. And that's and that's kind of the thing like with all friendships that when there's a group of friends, you know who's the one who can be like, who knows the most or
right.
who knows this part of that person the most. And Miranda just says,
go get our girl,
which reminds me of like a like an old school musical.
Yeah.
But
and that could have easily have been the end of the episode, I feel like.
Yeah, it could have. But instead, it ends in a way that I actually like. So we.
Oh, yeah. This while I say that could have been the end, this last scene is so perfect.
Yeah. So
we get to Carrie and Al having some sparkling rosé.
Mm-hmm, and Alex has bought Carrie a necklace, and it's not the Carrie necklace.
It's a new Carrie necklace.
It's a necklace for Carrie.
Yeah.
And
it's round diamonds, which apparently were supposed to be a big thing. I'm not sure they ever really took off.
Well, I couldn't have afforded it.
No, I'm sure not. I mean, who could? This necklace has to be worth a lot.
And they're talking, and they're having a moment, and then...
I also did write, how do you clean this outfit?
How do you clean anything?
But it's like little tufts. It's like little tufts of fabric.
Everything Carrie has, how would you have cleaned it?
I have no idea.
And they're soon interrupted with his best friend, Andre.
Yeah, he sort of says that he knows he's been busy, but once the exhibition opens, it'll be different,
mm-hmm.
which feels very much of a thing you say when things are never going to be different.
Right.
And they have a moment, and then French friends show up.
French friends show up, they speak in French, and you just see Carrie lost.
Oh, I wrote the same thing. That's really funny. I said, they seem nice enough, but very soon Carrie is lost.
Yeah.
And this actress, you recognize her? She's done a lot of Broadway. She was a Tony nominee. Her name is, I'm going to say, Corinne Plantidit.
Okay.
I have no idea if I'm pronouncing that correctly. She was original cast of Lion King and is still credited as a performer there. So I think it's a thing she probably goes back and does. But she was also in the original company of Moving Out.
Okay.
She was Tony nominated for Come Fly Away. Is that the name of it?
Yeah, that was the other Twilight star.
Yes.
So she was a Tony dancer.
She's an incredible dancer.
Okay.
Yeah, super, super talented. She was in the movie of Chicago.
Okay, awesome. I did know that. Great.
Anyways, I just recognized her because she is very recognizable. Yeah. And yeah, it's sort of, it has that moment of like, oh, Friends, this will be fun. And then you just see her go away.
Like, yeah, and I like it. I like that there isn't like an abrupt ending. You're just like, what happens?
We sort of fade out as we zoom in on Carrie. And you just see that she whether or not she feels she belongs there in this moment, it feels like she doesn't belong there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had moments where it wasn't even people speaking a different language, where I'll be in a situation and I'll suddenly think, oh, I'm not supposed to be here.
Right.
Like, I'm not part of this. And
yeah.
I can't imagine how hard that would be if you had just moved to a different continent for somebody.
Yeah, it's awful. And I want you all to know that it's very hard for me to just not watch the next episode. and the reason I'm not doing it is because it's all so fresh. I don't want to have a week of like, what happens? And then, you know, and with that being said, too, by the time this is released, I will have watched both episodes. So something fun that Mike and I want to do for like an additional episode is, you've heard us say we couldn't help but wonder this whole entire series, and now we are wondering, what about the Sex and the City series? Keep it to the series, because I haven't seen the movies yet.
Right.
Could you not help but wondered? So you can DM us on Instagram or Facebook or email us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder@gmail.com. And just like, what about the series have you always wondered? And then we're going to go through them and, assuming there's not, you know, thousands, we're just going to talk about them.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the form of the next episode/episodes will be, because the finale is much longer than a typical episode. So we'll see if it ends up being two parts or just one longer episode.
I think it'll probably just be one longer
probably
episode.
Probably one longer episode. We'll see how it goes. And then we will probably immediately do a season recap of some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be back with something more before the end of the new year.
Yeah.
As far as a whole series thing. And yeah, that'll include whatever you guys send. I have my Sex and the City trivia game that I think might be fun for Elise and I to play a little bit of.
Yeah, and everyone keeps saying like, oh, don't, you know, I'm so sad you're not doing anything next. That's not the case 100%. We're just saying if it does happen, we don't know what it's going to be.
Or when.
Yeah, we didn't want to say like, okay, this is what we're doing and be ready because it's starting now. And there's still a lot more material that has to do with Sex and the City that we're going to
cover. It's not over yet. There'll just be a bit of a pause.
There's just a little bit of a pause. And that should be a life lesson for everyone.
Sometimes you just need a little bit of a pause.
Doesn't mean it's over. Just take a break. But with that being said, I couldn't help but wonder where that luggage was.
Yeah, that's the best one. I couldn't help but wonder when she changed outfits. There you go. What's up, Carrie?
What's up with that, Carrie?
All right. We'll be back next week with probably the whole finale.
Probably the whole finale.
Bye.
Bye.
You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWpodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. Join us next week for An American Girl in Paris, Part 2.
Hi, it's Alex. Stop panicking. Hi, it's Alex. Stop packing. Big, yeah, he's outside. Well, Carrie's in a very heavy-looking cupcake dress. And, yeah, Big is in front of the house. And
well, first he's left a message.
Oh, sorry. Shit.
Yeah. So in this case, Big has left a message. And she deletes it. Yeah.